The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now, much of the focus of the scientific community is on creating a vaccine against COVID-19. Vaccines have hobbled many illnesses that had once stalked the planet's population. But Jonathan Healy now asks whether we have forgotten the debt of gratitude that is owed to that science.
Johnson & Johnson is one of several companies that has developed a potential vaccine slated to be tested in clinical trials later this year.
We're seeing incredible collaboration, and whether it's between some of the biopharmaceutical companies collaborating together or other places.
Today we have an armament, a repertoire of different tools which have completely transformed our approach to these type of crises.
For an anxious world, it's the Holy Grail, a vaccine for COVID-19. And while it will happen, there is the challenge of time.
We've got two vaccines in play for COVID-19, different mechanisms, one a more established mechanism and one a more experimental mechanism. I think it's incumbent upon us to make sure we have two shots on goal. It's important to get there as fast as possible in case, of course, there's a second wave.
Vaccines really are incredible. Anyone with small children knows that the list is already quite extensive. The BCG, the 6-in-1, the PCV, the MenB, the MMR, the rotavirus, all delivered in just a fraction of a second, and every one of them potentially life-saving. Life used to be a lot harder without them.
Also with worldwide problems, but in a totally different field, are the doctors and scientists at the World Influenza Center, Mill Hill. New types of flu are their concern, and from all over the world come reports of the latest types of influenza discovered by the World Health Organization.
A rather jaunty Pathé newsreel from 1956, as scientists used eggs to combat what was referred to then as the big sneeze.
With the reports come samples of the local flu virus, which the scientists allow to grow in specially selected fertile eggs. When identified, the various types of flu can now be fought by an appropriate vaccine. But the researchers have no easy task, since there are three main types of influenza bug, and two of the types have dozens of strains. Not until a vaccine is perfected which can deal with all the types and subtypes will the world be rid of this common illness.
The flu virus is an unpredictable one. If you're healthy, you'll usually recover in about 7 days, but flu can be severe and cause serious illness and death. Between 200 and 500 people, many of them older, die from flu each winter here in Ireland. But the difference is, because of the work of those scientists from the 1950s, we have a flu vaccine that provides a level of immunity. The difference between flu and COVID-19 is the original vaccine and every variation since. It's not the only virus that has stalked our community.
The origins of Mycobacterium tuberculosis, or TB as we know it, have plagued some of the earliest civilizations. DNA findings in ancient Egyptian remains has provided us with evidence that TB is well over 4,000 years old.
TB left a very real scar on Ireland. There used to be 7,000 cases a year here in the 1950s, until science provided an answer, the BCG. And there were concerns relatively recently, as stocks of that vaccine were running low.
Eleanor is 5 months old and she's officially at risk of contracting tuberculosis. Because of where she lives, the NHS says she needs the vaccine for TB, the BCG. But she hasn't had it because the NHS doesn't have enough of it.
If she goes to the playgroup and then catches something, she can die.
Her mum Lydia says she's been sent in circles by GPs and health visitors, that they all know there's a vaccine shortage, but no one seems to know what's being done about it.
We have had some new cases of TB in Ireland, but nothing too serious, thanks to the vaccine. And another nightmare illness poses even less of a threat.
Summer that I was turning, just before I turned 7, I just was sick with high fevers, lethargic, you know, laying all over the place and not able to really function. And so my parents brought in the doctor, and in those days, doctors used to come to the house. Our family physician came and examined me and promptly told my parents that he was quite certain that I had the polio virus. I had to be isolated in a room by myself. I had daily visits from my doctor. He used to come sometimes twice a day. He'd stop by because it was so crucial that, you know, we follow all the rules and regulations. The notice put on our house, you know, our house was a polio house.
There was never an accurate figure of how many people got polio in Ireland, but there were an estimated 7,500 living with the effects of the illness. And those effects were devastating. Hence the relief when this happened.
A vaccine against polio, only it's taken just like medicine. The Florida Attorney General started the ball rolling in the mass distribution. It's cherry flavored, so there's no difficulty with kiddies. Everybody under 40 in Dade County is going to take it. That's 500,000 in the biggest mass test of a polio vaccine ever held.
Both polio and TB were dealt with at a time when science was implicitly trusted. There was right and wrong in that level of unquestioning trust, but because the best minds had focused on the right outcome, the respective diseases were eradicated. Yet that trust eroded around the same time as an explosion in the number of media sources available to the general public.
I am convinced that most people make this decision not based on fact, but on feeling. Oh, I don't think I feel like I want to get my child immunized because of what I've heard from friends or what I read on the internet.
The MMR, on the face of it, is a wonder vaccine. It immunizes against three illnesses that, while mild for the most part, can have a debilitating effect on the most vulnerable. The fact that an unproven theory based upon a tiny sample scared people off the science is really quite remarkable.
There was a study in 1998 by a Dr. Wakefield which showed a possible association between the MMR and autism in a small number of children. Subsequently, that study has been shown to be inaccurate because a lot of the evidence was falsified, and in fact, Dr. Wakefield lost his medical license.
Parents made decisions based on the information they had sourced themselves, rather than trusting the doctor who was sitting opposite their child. An understandable mistake in some ways, but one for which others are paying a price.
A potentially deadly disease and a rising threat to children across the world. Measles is highly contagious and can only be effectively contained through a coordinated program of immunization. But the World Health Organization says that's not happening to the extent it needs to.
What we're trying to communicate to you and out to the world is we are backsliding. We are on the wrong track.
Mumps can spread when an infected person sneezes or coughs through droplets of saliva or mucus.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? From a recent U.S. outbreak of mumps.
And the disease has been spreading at some of Brooklyn's religious schools known as yeshivas. Now, why is that? Well, in yeshivas, students often sit at a table across from each other, questioning, challenging, and explaining to each other, and also sometimes sneezing or coughing in close proximity.
If we weren't all preoccupied with COVID-19 right now, we would be talking about the spread of mumps in Ireland. In 1 week recently, there were 213 new cases here. Since the start of 2020, there's been 711 cases amongst 20 to 24-year-olds and 585 cases in 15 to 19-year-olds, all for an illness for which we have a vaccine. And then, of course, there's HPV.
I remember I contacted the HSE 3 days after being told that my cancer was metastatic and that it was no longer curable.
The voice of the late, incredible Laura Brennan.
And I wrote to them on Facebook and I basically shared my story with them and said, look, if there's any way that my story will stop this from happening to any other girl.
Again, parents were frightened off the HPV vaccine, despite the proof that it prevents a virus that increases the likelihood of cervical cancer, amongst other things. Their fears were justified with the click of a mouse, but it took the actions of a dying young woman to drive the message home.
I often lie in bed at night and wonder how I got so lucky to have such amazing people in my life. Thank you for supporting me through the highs and lows, for making me laugh till I cry, and bring me so much happiness to my life. The HPV vaccine can and will save lives, save people from being in my position. So if I have to scream and shout about it to the day I die, I will continue to do that.
After the Thank You Laura campaign, the HPV uptake rate increased from 51% to 80%.
So now I want everyone to raise a glass to living the best possible life you can. Cheers.
And in her native county, Clare, that increase was 90%. Right now, COVID-19 has the world in a vice of fear. And scientists who've slaved for years in labs unnoticed are the ones with the power to defeat the virus. Now, that fear means we trust them again. We really don't have a choice. They've pushed back polio, TB, flu, and even cancer. And they will do it again. The world had started to take vaccines for granted. Maybe now, once we get the one for COVID-19, we might find that respect for them again.